Underwritten by the Roman Catholic Diocese of Orange, a community of 1.3 million Catholic faithful on a journey of faith together.
Join us this year at the annual Orange Catholic Foundation's Conference on Business and Ethics at Hotel Irvine, Friday, May 4th. This year's breakfast event will feature a keynote by Cardinal Timothy Dolan and a Lifetime Achievement Award for Modern Day's Coach of the Year, Bruce Rawlinson, and other surprises.
This is Father Dave Dwyer, and I'll see you on May 4th.
To purchase tickets or be an event sponsor, go to orangecatholicfoundation.org. That's orangecatholicfoundation.org.
Welcome to Catholic Sports View on Relevant Radio. A look at the athletes and coaches who shaped the Trinity League, exploring where athletics meets faith. Now, here is your host, Bob Gibson.
Let's kick off the show this week by welcoming in the head coach of the newly minted national champions, the Santa Margarita Ice Hockey Eagles, Coach Craig Johnson. Congratulations, Coach. Way to bring home another championship.
Thank you very much. Very exciting game, and you know what, it was very emotional, and the kids really worked hard for it.
You know, you mentioned the emotional part. Obviously, to be down with 2 seconds to go in the game, and then the game tying goal, and then the game winner in overtime. We'll get to that in just a moment. But you know, emotion plays such a big part, and we are talking about high school kids here and all that. You've been through this before in your career. Obviously, as a player, you've been up and down this road, and even as a coach, you've won a championship before. How important is it to be able to keep all the emotions in check while you're going through this kind of a roller coaster?
It's so important. I thought in the championship game, our kids actually started the game very tight, and they didn't play the way they could. And then about halfway through the first period, they started to skate, execute, catch passes, make passes, and we started to take over the game. I think the shots at the end of the game were like 28 or 29 to 14, and we really didn't give Regis much. We took some undisciplined penalties, which cost us. We ended up with a 5-on-3 against, and that's how they scored their first goal. And then their second goal was scored on a lost coverage on a faceoff. So here we were. We were dominating the play. All of a sudden, we're down 2-1. And the third period, I thought Regis did a good job of shutting us down. They just played a very conservative style, and our kids just stuck with it. You know, we got some chances. We didn't bury them. And then coming with 10 seconds left, the puck was dumped into our zone. And, you know, to give our kids credit, they never quit. They kept battling to the end, and we launched the puck up the ice, and it ended up on Brendan Williams' stick. He made a nice play across the blue line. He drew a defender in, and he brought his stick over to the outside, which opened up a middle drive lane for Joey Felicicchia to hit that hole, and then Williams put the pass right on his tape, and it was a one-timer right into the net. It was tied, and then it was trying to control our emotions after that because we had so many kids that were so excited about what happened that I was worried that we'd get into the overtime and we'd blow it. So we were able to generate some chances right away. Armijo drew a penalty, and we were able to capitalize on the power play, and I thought our power play moved the puck really well. I think we had 4 or 5 shots on the power play, and we got them scrambling around. And then finally, when Ryan Johnson to Williams to Levi Solani, and he was backdoor, and he tapped it in.
Yeah.
So it was pretty incredible.
An amazing turnaround from a game that I'm sure a lot of people thought, oh, no, here's the, you know, 16-0 in the regular season. People thinking, oh, here we go. This is the end of it. It's going to end like it did a year ago, obviously, in disappointment, and to have it turn around like that. You know, was there a moment late in the game where you sort of just told the kids, hey, let's just go for it? We're still in this. We still got a chance?
Well, it was from the start of the, you know, when the puck was first dropped, we said to play on our toes, you know, not sit back on our heels and watch and try to dictate the game and what's going to happen. Because if you're going to go out, you want to go out, you know, giving everything you have and playing the way you feel you're capable of playing. So that was kind of our mindset going in. And you know, to credit the kids, they never gave up, even when we were down one with 10 seconds left.
Craig Johnson, the head coach of the Santa Margarita Ice Eagles, the Division I national champion hockey team. They just played that game in Minnesota. You're obviously, we've talked to you before, you're from Minnesota. You know what hockey means to the people in Minnesota. What was the feeling like back there? What was the atmosphere like for the tournament?
It's great. You know, like I said, I was born, raised there, have a lot of family and friends. So to go, anytime I go back there, it always feels like home. And, you know, to have the opportunity to win a national championship in your home state is pretty special. And, you know, I let the kids know, too, you know, that this was a really special moment and that you're in the state of hockey and they have an opportunity, you know, there's snow and there's, you know, it's a great atmosphere. And I thought Plymouth, Wayzata did a great job in hosting the tournament. They made us feel comfortable. And we've been going there for, I think, 4 years now, where we go for a tournament over President's Day, or MLK, my fault. And in those 4 years, that arena that we actually played the final in, it's kind of been our home away from home, you know, for the past 4 years, where we'll go play 5-6 games, and we take both our teams out there, and our JV will play games. They'll play 4 games, and our varsity will play 4-6 games. So it was a special moment. Definitely to win it in Minnesota.
Has hockey from California garnered a respect, you know, within hockey circles? Minnesota's, you know, really ground zero for American hockey, obviously, and you know, of course, the Boston area as well would be pretty close to that as well. But you know, California is sort of, you know, Johnny come lately, maybe on the high school, you know, hockey scene. Has this area been able to gain some respect nationally?
Yeah, well, if you had asked me 4 years ago when we first went out to Minnesota, if we had respect, it was a definite no. You know, we weren't looked at as a hockey area, and they handled us pretty well out there. But lately, through the success that we've had through the tournament, through the success that we've had at Nationals, we have gained the respect of the Minnesota, I guess, fans and the Minnesota players as well.
Craig Johnson joining us, the head coach of the Division I national champion Santa Margarita Ice Hockey Eagles, just came back from the trip, and your kids are now on spring break. So I guess that's a nice way to go into spring break is to be on be a championship rather than going in with the disappointment of losing. That must have been a fun plane ride back.
Yeah, it was, and you know, I can't say enough about, you know, the group of kids that we had. And, you know, it wasn't just this year. It was the kids that played last year, the kids, the seniors that we had that lost the national championship game last season. And, you know, those kids helped build a culture that we have in our program, you know, through their hard work, through, you know, showing up, training off the ice, on the ice. And just they were good human beings too, and that's carried over to this year. And now the kids this year is, you know, it was a great group to coach. You know, you can never complain as a coach. You know, you'd go in, you'd know what to expect from them, you'd get work from them, and you know they competed really hard when they played. So it was a great group of kids, and you know I thank players last year who helped set that culture.
We know the name Solani is obviously legendary in this area here in Southern California and in Orange County, and certainly in the hockey in general, of course. Was it appropriate in a way that another Solani would score the game winner and win this championship?
Yeah, you know, obviously with Timo being the dad, but there's a little bit of history with the whole Solanis. Atu Solani, who was playing over at Northeastern now in the NCAA, he had won a championship in 2013. Levy's cousin, Tatu, he had come over and had won a championship in 2013, and then his brother, Emmy, as well. So Levy was the only one without a national championship, and I guess he upped everybody because I guess Tatu and Atu only had assists on the game-winning goal, and Levy was able to bury it for the game-winning goal. So he's a great scorer, and he has the ability to finish, and you can see, you know, obviously Timu's genes have rubbed off on him.
Yeah, for sure, right? When you have such an emotional high and when when Joey scored the game-tying goal, obviously the emotions can go two different ways. Obviously it can either just sort of bottom out and all that emotion sort of gets let go, and then you can kind of go flat maybe to the overtime, or it can just kind of rush through and carry you through. Obviously, that's what happened with your team. What did you tell them on the bench at the time, you know, to keep them focused on that? And that obviously, for Regis Jesuit, that had to be a big blow to what they were thinking at the time, too.
Yeah, for our kids, it was such an emotional high. I knew that if we could settle down, we would have a lot of emotion going into the overtime. And I also knew if the overtime continued and went on, that Regis would start to gain some of the momentum as well. So, you know, we went out there right away with the mindset, and this is what I told them on the the bench that we were going to attack, and we were going to play, and we were going to forecheck, we were going to reload, we were just going to pressure pucks anytime we didn't have it, and when we had it, we were going to try to keep it and try to generate. And when Armijo, he created a turnover, it was a nice play, and he drove to the net for, you know, a partial breakaway, and their guy had to bring him down. And then right away, our power play that went out there, they did a great job. And sometimes when you get a power play, you don't always work as hard, or the other team becomes more desperate. But we were real desperate to score, and we generated a couple one-timers. We generated a shot from our bumper. We generated, I think, a play off the side as well, where we were getting opportunities. And then what happens, they started scrambling around a little bit, and we got a little bit outside of our structure. And, you know, once that happens, you know, there's going to be seams that are going to open up. And all of a sudden, Ryan Johnson made a cutback. He hits Williams, and Williams sends it right through the seam, right to Levy backdoor. And that was just from a good power play that got them moving around.
There's nothing like winning as a player, obviously. It's a player's game. All games are players' games. But as a coach, you know, what describe the emotion as the coach, you know, knowing the work you've put into it as well?
Well, for me, it's well worth it when you see all the smiles on their faces. When you go into the locker room, you see the excitement. You see the excitement of the kids. You see the excitement of the parents. And, you know, it makes everything well worth it. It makes all the sacrifices that the kids put in throughout the year. You know, maybe they miss certain things because they had to go to a game or prepare for a game. And because of all those sacrifices, you know, winning a game like that, it makes it all well worth it.
Yeah, to win. And obviously, you know the work that goes into it. You know, you had a great NHL career. You were an Olympian. So you've stood in the shoes of these kids, you know, and know the journey it takes to get to this point.
Yeah. It takes a lot, and it does take a lot of a commitment from these kids. For myself, my high school season started when I was in high school. It started in, you know, late October, November. But these kids are going from August all the way until April, basically, and it's a lot of time, and it's a lot of sacrifice, you know, not from just the kids, but from the parents as well. So, you know, I appreciate all that they put in, and I try to do the same. I try to put as much as we can into what we do as coaches, and we try to provide them with the experiences and the and the memories that will last them forever.
Yeah, every year we're seeing the high school hockey league continue to grow and grow. Is it even surprising to you how much it's grown and how quickly this league has just gotten so great and all the great talent that sort of flooded into it?
Yeah, it's great to see hockey in California grow as it is. I think we started with two teams, I think 8 years ago or something, and now we're sitting at 40 some teams, and the level, the player in California is getting better, and we're becoming more of a state that people say, oh, well, you know, before it used to be like, oh, wow, he's from California, but now it's kind of expected that there's going to be California players that are going to do well nationally. So it's going to continue to grow as well, hockey. I think with the four-sheet facility that the Ducks are putting up, it's going to continue to grow the game. It's going to get more people involved, especially with the location that it's at. And, you know, it's an exciting time, you know, in the hockey community to see everything that's happening right now.
Yeah, it's so true. It's great to see. You're right. I mean, I remember covering it several years back, right, when I think Jay Serra was one of the few schools that had a team, and to see it get to this point. Do you see the interest, too? Do you see more people interested in becoming part of California hockey?
I do. You know, you can see it from the grassroots. You see so many players in the Learn to Play programs, and the NHL and the Ducks have done a great job in promoting the sport. And it is a great sport. And once you get hooked on it, it's hard to let it go. You know, especially for me, you know, growing up in Minnesota, where I've done it since I think I was age probably two. So I love the sport. I love what it offers. You know, it teaches so many great lessons. And, you know, one of the lessons that I think our kids were able to learn this tournament is that no matter what, you never give up, no matter what the circumstances. And, you know, that's not the only other lesson they learn. They learn hard work. They learn discipline. They learn sacrifice. And there's so many things that the game teaches.
Well, it's so great when all that hard work pays off. It certainly paid off for your team bringing home the national championship. Coach, I want to thank you for joining us this week. Enjoy your break and you know, continue to celebrate this championship. We appreciate the time.
Thank you very much.
All right, that's
your time.
Yeah, thanks so much. That's Craig Johnson, the head coach of the Santa Margarita Ice Eagles, the Division I national champions. Much more to come right here on Catholic Sports 2 when we come back. You're listening to Relevant Radio.
Underwritten by the Roman Catholic Diocese of Orange, a community of 1.3 million Catholic faithful on a journey of faith together.
Private Catholic schools engage and develop all aspects of our students' curiosity. Beyond truly excellent education in core academic areas, Catholic schools have a full offering in the arts, visual, performance, and music. Several schools feature full orchestra, dance, band, and many other highly specialized programs.
Learn more by visiting rcbo.org/Catholic Schools. Underwritten by the Roman Catholic Diocese of Orange, a community of 1.3 million Catholic faithful on a journey of faith together.
Breaking news! A new and very special guest has been added for our Holy Land cruise this July. None other than Bishop Kevin Vann.
Join Bishop Vann, along with Bishop Tim Fryer, the diocesan choir, and priests from throughout the Diocese of Orange on a pilgrimage to Vatican City and Rome, followed by a Mediterranean cruise that will take you to some of the most beautiful and historic sites in all of Christendom. Call 877-538-0010 or go online to occatholic.com/travel.
Welcome back to Catholic Sports View. Let us welcome in one of the heroes from the national champion Santa Margarita Eagles ice hockey championship team, and that is Brendan Williams. Brendan, thanks for joining us. I know you're on spring break this week, but thanks for taking a couple of minutes so we can talk about the celebration and the championship.
Yeah, no problem. Glad to be here.
Yeah, you had one of the assists on the game-tying goal with just a couple of seconds to go in the hockey game. Tell us what the feeling was like out there on the ice as this thing sort of ticked down on the clock, and you guys kind of maybe saw this opportunity getting away from you.
Yeah, so I looked at the clock, and I saw 10 seconds, and I was like, wow, this thing could be over. But then my coach shouted, go, go. So that's where I realized, like, it's not over yet. Like, we can still do this. So my teammate Jared Overland kind of iced the puck down, and I got it right over, it bounced over one of the opponent's sticks, and that's when I just realized we still have a chance. And so I came in, I made a move to my backhand, and then I saw my teammate Joey Filicicchia, who scored the goal, coming in behind me, and so I just slid it back to him, and then he just shot it bottom right, and we all just did a dog pile in front of the net because we couldn't believe it. And I looked back on the clock, it said 2 seconds, and it was just insane.
It had to be a great feeling, obviously, to get that game-tying goal, but I'm sure you had to quickly think in your mind, hey, you know, we have to, this thing is still going, right?
Yeah, so we were all in the huddle, and we all said a quick prayer because we say the Hail Mary before every game. And so since we were going into overtime, it felt like a brand-new game, like, nobody was winning, nobody was losing because we were tied. And so, but we knew we had the momentum, and we knew we had to win this because we thought there's no chance we can tie it with 2 seconds left and then not win this game in overtime. So we said a quick prayer, and we were ready to go.
Brendan Williams joining us this week on Catholic Sports. You're one of the heroes in the Santa Margarita National Championship win over the weekend. That took place in Minnesota, Division I National Championship, 3-2 win over Regis Jesuit High School. That school from Colorado. Is there still a little bit of a feeling like, hey, these California kids, what are they doing here? Is there still that feeling kind of on the national scene?
Yeah, so that was kind of like a motive to go in and win it, really. And before the game, we had a speech from our coaches and the coach's son who won it in 2013 with SM.
Mm-hmm.
And he's saying, like, we have to prove to everyone California hockey's relevant. And, like, we're really here to stay. Like, we mean business. And so we went into that showing that we are the best in the country, and California has that best hockey team in the country.
Yeah, you're a freshman, so you weren't part of the team a year ago, obviously, but they were in the championship a year ago, and they've won this before. So I would think Santa Margarita's got to have some standing within the national hockey community.
Yeah, so, again, just like last year when we lost, I know all the seniors, and they, like, all told me how it felt to lose, and pretty much the whole season, we knew we were going to get to nationals because we had confidence to win out California. And so when we got to nationals, we kept saying, don't make this or fix the changes from last year. like, fix the mistakes because we couldn't lose again because I didn't want anyone to have that feeling of losing because the seniors meant so much because they were such a good, like, leadership role to me. And so I kind of had to do it for them, too, as everyone did it for them, kind of. They just really inspired all of us.
Yeah, obviously, you guys went on to win it. Again, Brendan Williams joining us this week. He had the assist to Joey Filicicchia, who had the game-tying goal. And then, of course, Levi Solani would win the game in overtime. Describe to us the feeling when you saw Levi's goal going in OT.
It was a power play, and I was on the ice. So we had the control literally the whole power play. Like, we had shots on net, like, left and right. And so we kind of knew we were going to score, like, this would be it. And so I saw Ryan Johnson go below the net, and then he did a quick curl once he got to the other side. And that's where he passed to me, and I was kind of on the faceoff dot. And I saw Levy backdoor, and I had to slide it between, like, three kid sticks, but it got there. And then I watched that puck go in the net, and again, it was just, like, insane.
Yeah, obviously. I mean, it's to win a championship, to come back from being down to tied and then winning it. What was Coach Johnson telling you guys at all in between the regulation and overtime? What was the message sent out when you guys went back out?
He said, just stay focused. This game isn't over, because he knew everyone was going to be very hyped about the two-second tire because kids on our bench were crying because we thought we lost already. But seeing that, it, like, brought hope back. And he said, finish this game. Make sure you put everything out there. And we did that. And I just remember watching Levy score that goal, and the whole place erupted. Our bench was insane as we all just rushed the ice and went to meet up with our goalie, Trey Taylor.
Yeah.
And we all just did a huge dog pile, and that's a moment I can never forget.
You guys went 16-0 in the regular season. You know, there obviously had to be a huge swell of confidence, you know, going into this tournament for you guys. You guys know how good you are.
Yeah, our coaches just every day, they keep us humble, though. Even when we win a game by a lot or a little, they always say, keep pushing forward. This is not even near, like, how good we should be. And they just kept pushing us and pushing us, and we eventually got there. And that's when we were ready to be in that championship game. We called it the trifecta because we won the state championship. That was the first part. Then the ADHS HL championship, which was the second.
Yeah.
And right before that last game, our coach, Kevin School, said, we need to complete the trifecta. Like, it needs to happen now. And so we completed it, and it couldn't feel better.
You mentioned that you guys, you know, prayed the Hail Mary before the game. How important is faith within the program? How big a role does that play, you know, day to day in what you guys are doing?
Yeah, so since we go to a Catholic school, before we left, we had our priest pray over all of our sticks, and he put holy water on all of them, and we had, like, a nice, like, tiny mass. And so we went out, and before every game, we pray the Hail Mary, and then we say Mary, Queen of Victory, and then we all say pray for us. And so that's kind of like, it just helps us get into the game. Like, we know we're here, and we know God's watching over us. And so we know we've got to, like, perform well.
Well, Brendan, we say congratulations to you. I know it's an exciting time, and what a way to go into spring break than with a championship. It could have gone a whole different direction, but exciting
yeah.
time. And I'm sure when you guys get back to school here after this week, there's going to be a huge celebration on campus as well.
Yeah, probably.
All right. Thanks, Brendan. Hey, we appreciate it. Go enjoy your time off, and congratulations. And,
thank you.
We'll catch up with you guys when the big celebration happens over at school.
All right. Thank you.
Well, that was the young man, Brendan, who obviously got the assist on the tying goal. Let's now welcome in the young man who scored that game-tying goal, Joey Filicicchia. Joey, thanks for joining us on Catholic Sports View.
Hi. How you doing?
Well, I'm doing well, and I know you're doing great as well. Obviously, I would imagine that feeling at high that you guys have been on, you still haven't come down from it yet, right?
Nope. It was unbelievable. Still haven't come down.
Yeah.
Hard to believe.
We just heard from Brendan. He talked about how, you know, he looked up at the clock, 10 seconds to go, and there obviously had to be a feeling of, oh, my gosh, this is somehow going to get away from us here. But he said Coach just yelled go, and you guys kind of kicked into it. Did you have any idea that the puck was going to end up on your stick and you were going to be able to do what you did?
Honestly, no. That's one of the hardest feelings to overcome, that feeling of, you know, you're going to lose the game. But I saw Brendan going and Nick Maldi going, and it was our last chance. So, you know, I looked up at the clock, and there was only 10 seconds left when Overland made that pass. You know, there was good fortune in that pass. It bounced over a couple sticks right to Brendan. And I thought I'd just crash the net as hard as I can. And, yeah, I heard coach screaming, everyone down the ice. And then next thing I know, I got a pass, a beautiful pass over where I could one-timer it, you know, and put it past the goalie, which was unbelievable.
Obviously, you work on these things in practice all the time. You know, when you're messing around with friends. Obviously, it's one of those things you'll play it over in your head. Hey, I scored the game winning goal or whatever it is. It's the same for baseball players want to hit the game winning home run. Basketball players want to hit the game winning shot. Was it just like you had gone over in your head? Growing up all this time.
Of course, it's always been there to have a. Like an amazing goal like that,
right.
You know, to like save your team. And that was one of the most important games that I've ever played in. And to do it like that, it was just a great feeling to help the seniors out, the coaches, coach school. You know, it was unbelievable.
Joey Felicicchia joining us on Catholic Sports View, scored the game-tying goal just 2 seconds to go in regulation to force an overtime. And as we know now, Levi Solani would end up scoring the game winner in overtime. Obviously, you guys had to quickly kind of recompose yourselves to get into that overtime. So what was the talk? We heard Coach told us kind of what he told you guys, but was there talk amongst, you know, maybe some of the older guys and the captains and stuff about, hey, come on, let's refocus and get this done?
Yeah, well, we all knew we had the momentum to make it happen. We just stole it out right from under them, and we knew what we had to do, and we got a power play shortly into overtime, and that was our chance to score, and we had to finish it like that. It was just a lot of pressure, but Levy finished. The power play was awesome. We had so many chances. And we finally put one in, and it was just unbelievable.
It's such a turnaround, obviously, the emotion from both sides. Did you sense at all that Regis Jesuit, that their momentum, what was going to be their celebration they thought had kind of flipped over? Did you guys kind of see the momentum come out of them and really just shift over to you guys?
Well, for one thing, when I scored that goal, I was looking back at the video, and the goalie kind of put his head on the net because, you know, they were about to celebrate. All the players had their, like, almost had their helmets off. They were standing up, ready to celebrate as well. And for us to score with 2 seconds left really deflated the team, you know. It's just hard for a young team to come back from that.
Yeah, no doubt about it. What was it like? Obviously, the excitement of scoring that goal and then to see Levy score that goal in the overtime. Explain to us the feeling of being knowing that you guys completed the comeback.
All I can say is just an unbelievable feeling, like a huge weight lifted off my shoulders, but I can't even explain how happy I was. It was just one of the craziest games I've ever been a part of. To put the tying goal in and then for our team to come back and win it all, to end the season like that, because I thought we truly deserved it, and I love this team the whole season.
Yeah, it's a 16-0 during the regular season. Obviously, the best team in the state of California. Speaking of which, I don't want to necessarily say it's a chip on anybody's shoulder or anything like that. But is there still always that feeling that you're trying to get a little more respect for California and what California hockey has quickly become?
Yes, that is definitely a thing. Well, I'm from Chicago, and I moved to Santa Margarita my sophomore year. So last year I became a sophomore. And to be honest, I didn't think it was going to be real hockey because, you know, California. But when I came here, everybody cared. Everybody wanted to win. And it wasn't just like California laid back hockey. It was the real deal. I'm really thankful for that because I love hockey. And the team really brought me up, made me a better player in the coaching. It was an unbelievable team this year and last year. I'm very thankful.
Yeah, it really is a brotherhood, right? I mean, you guys are like a big fraternity of brothers out there, right?
Yeah, we are a brotherhood, I said, the least.
Joey Felicicchia joining us, national champion. It still sounds great, right? You know, Division I national champion, hockey player. What was it like, the plane ride home and once you got back? I'm sure the phone's been blowing up ever since, right?
Oh, yeah. Everyone, a lot of people were watching it because it was live and you could see it. So that was really cool. And the school played it on our little television channel. And so everyone saw it. And it was just unbelievable to help the team out like that and to, you know, to win like that. It was just, yeah.
Obviously, you guys thought you were going into spring break, or you, at some point you thought, oh, this is, you know, this is going to be a terrible spring break. We're going to come back having lost 2 years in a row. It completely flipped the script, and now it's going to be obviously a great week. What are you guys expecting it to be like when you get back in school?
Well, we had a few days when we came back, so everyone was pretty pumped, yeah. You know, because we lost last year. We got second.
Right.
So when we came back that last year, it did not feel good at all. This year it felt a lot better for everyone to be supporting us, even our principal and all that. It was great. It was a great feeling to come back.
Yeah, it's an exciting time. Joey Filicicchi, we want to thank you for joining us, and thank you for giving us one of the great highlights of this school year, that game-tying goal. It's something that's going to be in the history books forever and ever, and your name's going to be attached to it. So congratulations once again.
Thank you so much, Bob.
All right, that's Joey Filicicchi, national champion, ice hockey Santa Margarita Eagles. We'll take a quick break here on Relevant Radio, and we'll come back with much more. Stay with us.
Underwritten by the Roman Catholic Diocese of Orange, a community of 1.3 million Catholic faithful on a journey of faith together. Join us this year at the annual Orange Catholic Foundation's Conference on Business and Ethics at Hotel Irvine, Friday, May 4th. This incredible conference is packed every year with men and women who are truly making a difference in our diocese. It's also a wonderful way to raise funds to provide financial aid for students who are unable to afford a quality Catholic education. To sponsor this year's event or purchase tickets, go online to orangecatholicfoundation.org, and we'll see you on May 4th.
Thanks again for joining us this week on Catholic Sports View. I am Bob Gibson, and we welcome in our next guest, the new offensive coordinator of the Servite football team. That is Darnell Arsenault. Coach, welcome to Southern California. Thanks for joining us this week.
Thank you guys for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. Aloha to you, right? And that is going to be my first question is, you come to us from the state of Hawaii. What would make you want to leave Hawaii and come out to Southern California to coach football? Because you had a pretty good thing going in Hawaii, right?
Yeah, you know, college football, we produce a number of great student athletes that have gone on and had great professional careers. And, you know, I've kind of stepped away from the game for about a year to come home and coach my son at Punahou High School, and got the blessing from my wife to get back in the game. So no other place that I'd rather be than Servite. You know, it's a great school and what I've heard about it, and, you know, that tradition about winning. So kind of just jumping back on that ship and trying to get it going again.
Yeah, and it's been a rolling time. For those, I covered the Trinity League. I've covered it for years back when Troy was first at Servite and then left. And so the whole story of Servite, you know, Troy Thomas coming back to Servite and everything that's gone on here, it's been quite a whirlwind. And now you're a part of that. How did you first get in touch with Coach Thomas, and how'd you hear about this opportunity?
Well, I first met Coach Thomas through a mutual friend of Doug Simonis. He was a legendary coach at Kahuku High School here in the islands. And about 5 years ago, he had the opportunity of getting the head coaching job at Occidental College. And I played against Doug as a high school student, and our relationship goes back pretty far. I played against him when I was at St. Louis High School and beat him 3 times in the state championships. Then I got opportunity to play with Doug in an arena football league for 3 years here. So when he got the job at Occidental, I reached out to him and said, hey, before I could even finish my sentence, he said, you're hired. And I became his quarterback coach. Then a few years later, I became the offensive coordinator. And you know, that's how I ended up meeting Coach Thomas, and kind of just a good acquaintances. And then this thing popped up, and Doug reached out to me saying, hey, would I be interested? And we started a conversation, and, you know, one thing led to another. And, you know, I always believe, you know, the Lord, you know, does things, and he guides you through a path. And I think, you know, praying about certain things lately and looking for new opportunities and saying the prayer of Jabez and things like that. And, you know, Coach Thomas reached out, and, you know, it's all working out.
Darnell Arsenault is joining us, the new offensive coordinator at Servite High School, going to take over that position and get the Friars program back going again. Anyone that knows high school football knows of the legendary St. Louis High School in Hawaii. It's always a national power. Explain to us what high school football is like in the state of Hawaii.
Well, put it this way. When I played high school football here, my senior year, was going to be the 10th year in a row that St. Louis High School won a state championship. It goes back to 1996. When I took over the program with Marcus Mariota, we won a state championship that year in 2010. My senior year, we played in front of about 30,000 people for a high school game. Marcus's senior year, we probably played in front of about 25. So, in Aloha Stadium. So, high school football here is a huge deal. I mean, it is one of those things where it brings the whole state together. It's a driving force to prolong these student athletes' education through athletics. I mean, it is a huge deal, and I put it up there with California and Texas and Florida as far as the premier states of producing high quality student athletes, just because of the Polynesian background that we have out here and the physicalities that we play with. I mean, it is a mecca for offensive linemen and D linemen, and in the last about 10 years that has pretty much changed. Is you can come to Hawaii now and you can find any skill position that you want, whether it be free safety, DB, receivers, and especially quarterbacks. Now with Marcus Mariota, Timmy Chang, myself, Tua Tagovailoa, Seven Cordell, Mackenzie Milton, that's Central Florida. I mean, you name it, we produce some big quarterbacks out of the state of Hawaii.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're absolutely right. I mean, it was the day was right. If you wanted a left tackle or a middle linebacker, you know, Hawaii was the place to go get one, but you didn't get a lot of skill players out of there. You're right. Now the skill player, obviously Marcus Mariota going on and winning a Heisman Trophy, that's huge, right? So that tells you right there that the skill players are really starting to come through the state. What are we talking about in terms of student bodies and how many kids you actually have to work with? Because, you know, obviously we know Hawaii is not a very big area to begin with.
Yeah, and you know, it's always a crazy thing when I tell people this. There's probably over 60 high schools on just Oahu alone.
Oh, wow.
There's pretty much going to an open league next year that's going to feature around 32 of the best high schools just on our island. They're going to put those schools in the divisions, kind of like a Class A, 5A, 4A, and 3A. So there's, and then in the big open league, you know, there's Kahuku High School, Farrington, St. Louis, Kamehameha, Punahou, Waianae, Kapolei. I mean, there's Campbell. There's about, within Hawaii, I say, as far as, you know, like the Trinity League, we got teams. We probably got about 8 teams that could probably beat at least 500 in the Trinity League because of size, speed, and the dominance that we can play with here in Hawaii. I always tell people it's not this grass shock where there's 4 or 5 high schools. I mean, it's a big island. It's pretty big, and there's a number of student athletes. At my wife's high school, it's called Nililani High School. They got another quarterback that's probably going to end up at Navy. His dad was the University of Hawaii quarterback back in the day, and their high school is about 2,500 kids. So we're talking about each high school being around close to 1,500 to 2,000 kids.
I mean, those numbers are crazy. I didn't even know the numbers were like that out there. I mean, we know that the quality of football is so good out there. You mentioned, you know, Timmy Chang, and of course we know Marcus, you know, who's with the Tennessee Titans now, the starting quarterback there. There's been so many great coaches, and Norm Chow, obviously. You know, how much of all those things just added to, you know, what has become, you know, this great little hotbed of football talent?
You know, I think there's a lot of guys that have, you know, gone on from Hawaii. Like myself, Coach Chow, that at one point in time they came back to give back. I think that's been the whole process of, you know, going out and exploring and doing as much as you can with yourself and your athletic abilities, and then bringing that knowledge back home and then teaching the next generation. And that cycle has just continued. You know, I got out, went to the University of Utah, played in Canada, did the arena thing, and then came back home and started doing the camps and the clinics and doing the things that we saw that everybody was doing in the mainland, and we started to build off that. And then, you know, with the internet, everything kind of took off from there, where we could go on the internet back, you know, 20 years ago, and then start grabbing things from different networks and different places, and being able to grab different resources and then be able to teach off of that has really skyrocketed to the next level with the speed and quickness training, the quick muscle twitch things, and all these high school coaches now are just getting better and better. And so the high school quality of football here is so much better than it was 30 to 40 years ago, just because of the internet and all the knowledge that coaches can get and coaches' clinics that they can get online. And it's really expanded just the quality of football, I think, everywhere throughout all the states. You can go to Alaska and Rhode Island and find a guy now, probably.
Yeah.
You know, so I think Hawaii's kind of tapered off on that, too.
Darnell Arsenault joining us, the new offensive coordinator at Servite High School, just joining the team from the state of Hawaii and coming over. Obviously, you're kind of getting used to maybe the roster and sort of getting maybe a chance to meet some of the kids. A quarterback that graduated a year ago, another one that transferred out. Those are kids you're not going to know anything about. Obviously, they're not going to be under your tutelage. But obviously, I would imagine the first thing you're going to try to do is get in there and find yourself a quarterback, right?
Well, that's the biggest one. Is that position is the biggest one. So, right now I'm just actually putting the offense together, and then I'm going to be up there in a few weeks to meet some of the kids and kind of start rolling on this. I'm still in Hawaii trying to close out some things, but at the main time is a new technology, the huddle that we can get on there and start putting things together and sending them out to the kids. But I don't consider myself just a coach. I really consider myself a teacher, especially at that position, as a quarterback position. You got to really teach these young men the game. And I see the game as a quarterback the same way as that I teach it still. I can still see the way I need to read it, and I can relate to quarterbacks that way. And I think that's the best part about my job, is being a young quarterback or a veteran quarterback and then just keeping the game fun for him and teaching him new things and showing him, well, you might want to try it this way, and then working with him to make sure that he's comfortable. And I think that's something that I'm going to bring to Servite, is just that teaching knowledge, especially to that main position, and the way that I teach it also to the receivers. I teach the receivers to be quarterback friendly. I tell them, if you guys want the ball, man, you got to understand where you need to be. The quarterback's not going to throw to where you want to be. He's going to throw to where you need to be. So I teach them in the same manner through the run and shoot about all understanding the concepts. And that's the best thing about it, is I teach the offense as a whole. I don't teach it just that to the quarterbacks and receivers. Quarterbacks and receivers are all in one meeting, so that they learn the process of elimination the right way and then do it together. So everybody on the field, whether you're a receiver, running back, or quarterback, you know where that ball needs to be based off the alignment of the defense. So I'm excited to get to work and work with these guys.
And obviously the quarterback position has evolved over the years. Everybody's looking for the next Marcus Mariota, because he really is the prototypical quarterback that people are looking for today. The big kid with the big arm, but that can also be mobile and get out of the pocket when they need to be. That's the position right now as it's being played. I would imagine that you're looking for, you're not going to find another Marcus Mariota maybe, but you're looking for that kind of a kid, right? I mean, those kind of special talents only come along once in a while, right?
They only come on. The crazy thing is Marcus is probably a better person than a football player. And I think that's what also I'm excited about, is all the great things that I've heard about Servite. I'm going to be working with quality kids that just want to be great and that are hard workers. Everybody wants another Marcus and things like that. But the good thing about, I think we'll find a guy that can do a little bit of both. And I think that's the cool thing. If I can find a guy that can run a little bit and throw a little bit, that kind of fits into what I want. But, when I was at Occidental, I had Brian Scott, that's the all-time SCIAC Division III leader at Occidental, and we broke every record throwing the ball and wasn't that great of a runner. So, I mean, I can work with different qualities that a quarterback has, and that's the neat part about going to high school and finding these young student-athletes and kind of helping mold them into the player that they want to be. So you might find a lefty that can throw, and you might find a righty that can run. And you might find a guy that can do a little bit of both, and you got to kind of work with what you got and kind of, make a nice stew in some sense with all these kids. So I'm super excited about the opportunity. And then just being a part of the Servite family, I heard so many great things about it. And, you're playing in one of the best leagues in the nation, if not the best, with St. John Bosco's and Modern Day, and the list goes on. I think it's going to be exciting. And, hopefully we take Servite back to where they belong.
Yeah, you led me right into my next question. We talked about how the St. Louis High and then Hawaii has really become big on the national scene. Obviously, it's not lost on you that you're being now a part of the Trinity League, which obviously has a big national profile as well. So you know a lot about this league already, just because of what they've done the past several years as well.
It's a great league. I think every quarterback, every player, that if you want to get seen, get your tape out there, it's the league you want to play in. It really tests who you are. I think this gets you the best jump to big time college football, and I'm just honored to be a part of it. I think it's a league that has a ton of tradition and respect for one another, the teams in them, and I'm just glad that the Lord has given me a blessing and this opportunity and this journey to take with my family and at the same time, as long as I've been doing this, if you look for new challenges and new things to keep kind of keep you going, and coaching college was a great opportunity. But then I got a root with young kids, man. I love being around young kids that are motivated to learn and spiritually, physically, and they just want to learn football. And I think, you know, the Lord has given me a gift, and I want to make sure I use that gift in the way He needs me to do it. So I'm just excited about being with Servite again and being a part of that Trinity Football League. And it's going to be a new experience for me to go to a high school game, and there's, you know, like how it is out here in Hawaii, where there's could be like close to 5,000 to 7,000 people at a game. So that's going to be very cool.
Yeah. It's so much fun. I know talking to Coach Thomas, a couple of weeks back, he's excited to get to work. You're excited to get to work, and we're excited to see how it's all going to work out, here at Servite. And, just another, great team, modern day, obviously the defending national champions, St. John yes. Bosco the year before that. We know the yeah. level of football out here, and it's going to be a whole lot of fun. Coach, we know it's early out in Hawaii for you. We appreciate you taking the time to join us this
no
week
problem,
and can't wait to meet you when you finally get out here to Southern California, and then football season's just around the corner.
Look forward to meeting you guys too. You guys take care. Aloha.
You too. Aloha to you as well. That is Coach Darnell Arsenault, the new offensive coordinator with the Servite Friars, and we'll take a quick break here on Catholic Sports View. We thank Coach Arsenault for joining us once again, and we'll be right back right after this.
Written by the Roman Catholic Diocese of Orange, a community of 1.3 million Catholic faithful on a journey of faith together.
In an increasingly secular and strained world, Catholic schools provide a safe and secure education environment with faith and family at its core. Our students are instilled with profound faith, deep humility, and inspiring integrity that they will carry with them. Learn more by visiting rcbo.org/Catholic Schools.
This is Deacon Steve Greco, and I'm radio host of the show Empowered by the Spirit. I've recently written a book, Expect and Experience Miracles, that is available on Amazon. And the reason we did that is because the Lord Jesus Christ wants to shower us with His love and shower us with His grace, which is unmerited favor. The definition of miracle is God's supernatural intervention in our lives. And Jesus does that all the time. Let's be open to it. Expect miracles, and you will see the grace that God has in store for you. God bless you all.
Welcome back to Catholic Sports View. We welcome in one of the city council members of the city of Costa Mesa, and that is Katrina Foley. Thanks for joining us here on Catholic Sports View.
Hi, I'm glad to be here today. Thanks for inviting me.
We want to talk to you in your capacity as a member of the city council at Costa Mesa and as the mayor of the city recently as well, because you helped welcome in the Los Angeles Chargers, and I still have to catch myself and not say San Diego. They are now the L.A. Chargers. We just got used to having the Rams back in L.A. Now we got another team in the Chargers, and we know the Chargers chose the city of Costa Mesa as to set up their headquarters and their training. How did that all come about, and when were you first made aware that the Chargers were thinking about making Costa Mesa part of their home?
Well, I first became aware in December of 2016, and I have to tell you, we were so thrilled. Everybody was thrilled because how exciting to have an NFL football team headquartered in our small little town. We really have had a great working relationship with them so far. They've just come into the community and folded right in, really outreach to the residential neighborhood that surrounded the training camp, and great reception by the community. They've poured resources into our schools and into our after-school programs. They've been coming out and meeting with our kids, the players, and going to our businesses, for watch parties, you know, with the cheerleaders. So it's been a great relationship so far.
And it's really the area I wanted to focus on. You obviously, we're a program that talks about high school sports and the athletes surrounding it. And it's just so, it's so neat, you know, for lack of maybe a better term, but it's so great to have a franchise come in, any business, right? Whether it's a professional sports franchise or any other kind of business, come in and say, hey, we want to be part of the community. We want to help your youngsters and your high school players. I mean, this is something that seemingly right from the very start, the Chargers really made a commitment to do this.
Oh, yeah, right from the start. We have two high schools in Costa Mesa that have football teams, and they've immediately contributed and supported both schools, giving shoulder pads. And I believe they gave shoulder pads to Costa Mesa High School. I think cleats, I heard, to Estancia High School. They came out for the rivalry football game and donated $500 to each team. They've offered both teams opportunities during the training camp to, you know, sell water. And I think the teams made a couple $1,000s because there's thousands of people coming to the training camp.
Right.
And it was hot and they were thirsty. So, you know, and just really great community relations. They have worked with some of our, like the fish fry. They had a presence there at our annual fish fry in the community. They had a presence at our annual community run, the concerts in the park. They've just really come in and become part of our local community. It's great.
Katrina Foley joining us this week on Catholic Sports View, member of the city council in the city of Costa Mesa. Now, this is your second go around on the council. You've also been a school board member with the Newport Mesa School District as well in the past. So you know, as well as anybody in that community, you know, what it means to have somebody come in and say, hey, we want to invest in this, because it takes money to put football players and get them all outfitted and get it on the field. And sometimes it's hard to come up with that money.
Oh, yeah. You know, I have two boys who've played football. My youngest son is the quarterback at Costa Mesa High School.
Right.
I've done my fair share of fundraising. It's about $100,000 a year to fund a small little football team.
Wow.
My guards. And you don't get much of that money at all, maybe a tenth of it from the athletics budget for the high school. So it really, for a school like ours, where same as Estancia, working class families, it's hard to raise $100,000. So to have this kind of partnership to really uplift our programs in our community, you know, starting all the way from the little guys who are learning how to play flag and tackle football all the way up to high school, it'll be a real asset for our school teams over the years as the relationship continues to grow. You know, we have a 10-year contract with the Chargers for use of our Jack Hammett Sports Field for their training camp. They've invested $1 million in putting pristine fields at that location, and they are investing even more to build a storage and expansion of bathrooms. And really, they are coming in and not only using the facilities for their own benefit, but then leaving them in the better shape than they found them for the community to use. And so tons and tons of kids are going to be able to have access to these fields. Plus the mobile rec van they bought for us, $50,000, so that we can take mobile recreation and a little mini library out into some of our neighborhoods where they don't have parks and they don't have recreation programs. And maybe they're a little bit poorer communities, and we can keep kids involved. That's been a real boom. It's a small family organization for such a big organization, and I've just really enjoyed getting to know the Spanos and the team that they have there. They've hired 200 people or more from our local community, so they're creating jobs. So far, it's been a great relationship.
Yeah, and, you know, obviously people, sports fans, people who follow the NFL know the story of the Chargers, and obviously a longtime fixture in the city of San Diego. So, you know, I guess if they were a little road weary, you know, so to speak, for the experience of everything that's happened down there and coming up here, maybe nobody could blame them for being a little burned out on the whole process. But, you know, they didn't. They decided to turn the page and start a new chapter up here in the Los Angeles / Orange County area, and I think that's really a testament to what they've tried to do here by building those roots in the community, you know, as we said, right from the start.
Yeah, and They have a great team of individuals who are really proactive about working with our community, with our schools, with our city staff. And we've tried as a city to be a good partner with them. And, you know, we had to work really fast to get their building ready so that they could move in,
right.
So that they could be ready for the season. So it was a lot going on. I mean, it's amazing to me, this well-oiled machine that they have, that they can just put a training camp NFL experience together right here on our little soccer field. And you think you're in a different place. It's a well-oiled machine, and it's been a fun experience. You know, our economy is booming because of it in the summer. Our hotels were full. We had the Saints, New Orleans Saints came to practice and scrimmage with them, and they stayed in our local hotels. That's great for our local economy, and that's fun for people to see a Charger hanging out at the Water Grill or even at Nick's Pizza or Newport Rib Company.
It's so true. It's so true. And anyone who doesn't know Nick's Pizza in Costa Mesa, get down there. One of the best pizzas anywhere in Southern California. I can attest to that. You mentioned you had a son on the football team. What did it mean to them to kind of have this team come in and be able to meet some of these players and maybe even kind of pick their brains a little bit?
Well, he was just really excited, and a lot of the football teams got to come out to the training camp, and they were able to go out and meet the players, and it really helps, I think, our young people see, look how hard these guys work, and look what you have to do, dedication, commitment. Those are good lessons to teach our youth for whether they become a professional football player or not. You know, it's a good lesson for life. So he was very excited. You know, the team doctor is Dr. Gazzaniga from Newport Orthopedics, just happens to be my son's doctor, unfortunately. and so that was kind of cool, you know, oh, we have the best doctor.
Right.
And it's, again, just the local community, really, they've embraced our locals, and the football players, just ecstatic. They gave tickets to both teams so that the students could go to a game. So it's been real fun for all the young people here.
Yeah, it's funny, when the Rams were here the first go around, they were the Los Angeles Rams, but of course they played in Anaheim at Anaheim Stadium. You know, this team is the Los Angeles Chargers, and they're going to play. Right now they're playing, obviously up, on the Cal State Dominguez Hills, that stadium, up there in that campus. And then they're going to move into the stadium that the Rams are building in Inglewood. So they will be the LA Chargers. But it's fun that they still have those Orange County roots. They'll have their training camp down there. It kind of makes it Southern California's team rather than just LA's team.
Yeah, and, I say they have an opportunity here in Orange County and in Costa Mesa to really grow a fan base that they might not have had access to before, just simply because they're here now, and there's going to be a lot of, new generations loving the Chargers and being around the Chargers and wanting to become a Charger, And
right.
So I really think that that's going to help. Our Orange County fans are going to help them rebuild and grow their fan base. And so I'm excited about helping them to do that. And Mr. Spanos and I have talked a lot about how do we do that in Costa Mesa. Now we have a watch party headquarters is at the Newport Rib Company, and we're trying to develop a fan base here in our local area. I've got my favorite player, Trey Boston. He was safety.
Oh, yeah. There you go. There you go.
I love him. I love watching him play. I love his energy. He has such a positive spirit. He's a very uplifting guy, and I think he brings a lot to the team, just his level of energy. So it's fun to watch him play.
just a couple of years ago, as I mentioned, we had no football teams. Now we have two football teams back in the L.A. area. And I know it's been fun for you to help usher in this new era in Costa Mesa. Katrina Foley, member of the Costa Mesa City Council, we want to thank you for being on the show. And good luck. And we're going to keep watching what the Chargers do in the years to come.
Okay, thank you. From Costa Mesa, go Chargers.
All right, there you go. You heard it right there. That's Katrina Foley on the City Council for the City of Costa Mesa. And that will wrap up the show for this week. If you want to listen to this one again or any of the other shows in our library, just simply go to OCCatholic.com/radio, and you can catch all the past shows right there. Just click on the one you want to listen to. Thanks again for joining us here this week on Catholic Sports View, where athletics meets faith, right here on Relevant Radio. We'll be right back.